నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ నారాయణం నమస్కృత్యం నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తతో జయముదీరయేత్ నష్టప్రాయేష భద్రేషు నిత్యం భాగవత సేవయా భగవతీ ఉత్తమ శ్లోకే భక్తిర్భవతి నైష్టికీ కృష్ణాయ వాసుదేవాయ దేవకీనందనాయ చ నందగోపకుమారాయ గోవిందాయ నమో నమః. రీడింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ ది 10th క్యాంటో చాప్టర్ 11 టెక్స్ట్ నంబర్ 56. అథాప్యభివంతేనం నైవ తే ఘోరదర్శనః జిఘాంసయైనం ఆసాద్య నశ్యంత్యగ్నౌ పతంగవత్ అథాప్యభివంతేనం నైవ తే ఘోరదర్శనః జిగాంసయైనం ఆసాద్య నశ్యంత్యగ్నౌ పతంగవత్ అథాప్యభివంతేనం నైవ తే ఘోరదర్శనః జిగాంసయైనం ఆసాద్య నశ్యంత్యగ్నౌ పతంగవత్. హరే కృష్ణ. అథాపి Although they come to attack, abhibhavanti, they are able to kill. Enam, this boy. Na, not. Eva, certainly. Te, all of them. Ghoradarshanaha, very fierce looking. Jigamsaya, because of envy. ఏనం అంటు కృష్ణ ఆసాద్య approaching, nashyanti, are vanquished. Agnau, in fire. Patangavat, like flies. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki. Although the causes of death, the daityas, were very fierce, they could not kill this boy Krishna. Rather, because they came to kill innocent boys, as soon as they approached, they themselves were killed, exactly like flies attacking a fire. Purport. Nand Maharaj innocently thought, perhaps this boy Krishna formerly killed all these demons. Therefore, in this life they are envious and are attacking him. But Krishna is a fire and they are flies. And in a fight between the fire and flies, the fire is always victorious. Fighting is always taking place between the demons and the power of the Supreme Personality. Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha dushkritam. Anyone who is against the control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead must be killed. Life after life, ordinary living beings are subject to karma, but the Supreme Personality of Godhead is always victorious over the demons.
Om Ajnanate Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakada Mahyam Tadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Utapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostude Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Pescha Kripa Sindhu Gaevacha Pavanebhyo Vishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vashadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare
Hare Krishna. Although the causes of death, the daityas, were very fierce, they could not kill this boy Krishna. Rather, because they came to kill innocent boys, as soon as they approached, they themselves were killed exactly like flies attacking a fire. So, these are the words which are reflecting the thoughts of Nanda Maharaj. So many demons came to attack Krishna in Vrindavan, and they all were killed. Somehow or another, they all died. Krishna killed them. So Nanda Maharaj was thinking that because in the past, probably Krishna had killed them, and therefore they are now again taking birth to take vengeance. So it's actually the fact that the sons of Kashyap had 13 wives. Out of them, Diti, Aditi were the two principal wives, and Aditi's children became the gods. The Diti's children became the demons, daityas, and there was always war between the two parties, daityas and the gods, and the gods always manage to overpower the demons, and they subsequently get killed and subsequently they start taking birth on the earth planet. And again the demigods took birth in the Yaduvamshas and other families, and Krishna personally descended to this earth in order to again kill them on this earth and send them lower and lower and lower. So this is the conversation which takes place between Janmajaya and Suta Goswami. He inquires that who are these people, who are these demons? And he was told that they are all demons, big demons in the past, who had taken birth in celestial planets and had fought with the Lord, fought with the demigods, and subsequently got killed. So now they are again born again in this earth planet and taking vengeance. But here they don't stand a chance against the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Lord and His associates, the demigods, are far too powerful for the demons to stand a chance of victory. So, the example is here given that in a fight between the flies and the fire is always victorious. Bhagavatam also says that. Yut satam kutrachit atatayinam jaya sadaikatra nayat paratmana vinayakam utpatti layastidishwaram. Just explain that always whenever there is a fight between the conditioned soul and the Supreme Lord, the Supreme Lord is always victorious. Jaya sadaikatra nayat paratmana. That the position of being always victorious is always with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, the conditioned souls may be victorious sometimes, may not be victorious, but the Lord is always victorious. That is the position of the Lord. It's unshakable. And therefore, an example is given here that the fly jumps into the... And this very famous example, we use it, you know, Patanga Matanga. The Niti Shastra says, Patanga Matanga Kuranga Bringa Meena Hata Panchibireva Pancha. Ekam Pramati Katham Nahanyate Yaha Sevate Panchibireva Pancha. That these five animals we should all learn from, the Shastra says. A fly, a deer, a bee, and an elephant, and a fish. All these animals, they are attracted to sense objects. Fly is attracted to the fire and he jumps into the fire and he kills himself. So the Shastra says that we must be learning from these animals and how we must control our senses. We should not disregard the laws of nature. We should not disobey the laws of God. What the Lord has laid down for us, we have to gracefully accept. And that is the way of happy life in this world and a higher destination in the next. So that is the law of nature. We cannot change the laws of God. We cannot disobey. We cannot go against the laws laid down by the Lord. So whatever the Lord has destined for us, whatever the Lord has decided for us, a devotee gracefully accepts. But we can see that there are, basically in this world there are three kinds of people. In this world, there are three kinds of people. The pure devotees of the Lord, the demigods and the demons. So the pure devotees, they are having no material desires, they have no selfishness. Their only desire is to serve the Supreme Lord. No selfishness, absolutely. Just like a father may have three sons. One son may be so matured that he loves the father, he loves the parents, he takes care, he's very obedient, takes care of the other children. Second son may be good, he's obedient, but then he likes to move around here and there, he likes to spend his father's money. And he's obedient, but he has his own agenda also. And a third son may be so envious that he hates the brothers, he hates the father, and he's always, ruining things and things like that. He's like against the will of the father. Destructive, basically. So in this world also we can see these three kinds of people. The pure devotees represents the eldest son, middle son who is like, he's obedient but he's having his own agenda. It can be compared to the demigods. And the demons, they can be compared to the third son who is like against the will of the Lord. So they also represent these three kinds of karma which Gita explains, Karma, Vikarma and akarma. Karma represents, are represented by the gods. Gods are engaged in pious activities. They are not against the will of the Lord. They are doing pious activities. So that's karma. The rakshasas, the dhanavas, they are against the will of the Lord. Completely. They are engaged in sinful activities, destructive habits. So that's vikarma. And the pure devotees of the Lord, they are engaged in akarma, spiritual activity, bhakti, devotional service, and therefore that leads to liberation. So these are the kind of three kinds of people mentioned in the Shastras. So the example is there that if you fight with the Lord, if you try to desist, if you try to counteract what has been laid down for you, the will of the Lord, then you end up in your own destruction. You destroy your own life, you destroy your own happiness, you destroy your own peace. So obedience is solicited by all conditioned souls. That is for his good. So, Shastras gives another example which comes to my mind is of the destruction of the serpents, the sarpas. So the Shastras explain that these serpents that we see today, you know, we see the cobras and the viper and all, they are considered very poisonous. But actually, these serpents are very docile and very mild, they are not aggressive. Thousands of years ago, there used to be serpents which were far more powerful, far more bigger, far more poisonous than the serpents that you find today. But they were all killed by the fire sacrifice of Janmejaya. They were all killed, destroyed. So how they got destroyed? What is the history behind it? It's a very interesting story. So the story goes that Kashyap had 13 wives out of Diti, Aditi and Kadru and Vinata. So Kadru's children became the sarpas. She begot the serpents, the nagas and sarpas. And Vinata, she begot the bird species, Garuda, Aruna. So, when the Samudra Manthan takes place, when the churning of the ocean takes place, from the ocean, Uchchaishrava, the horse comes out, the white colored horse. So at that time, Kadru goes to Vinata, they were co-wives, she goes to Vinata and she says, what do you think is the color of the horse which has come out from the ocean? They had not seen it. So Vinata said, it could be white, it is white. So Kadru said, let's have a wager, let's have a bet. If I win, you and your children will become my servants. If you win, then me and my children will become your servants. So Vinata says, alright, let's. So what do you say? What do you say? What is the color of the horse? So she says, well, I think the horse is white, but the tail is black. So alright, let's go and see, let's check it out. So Kadru, she became a little upset and she was a little afraid that if she loses, then. So she calls her children, the sarpas, and they tell them that you go and you make arrangements so that the tail is black. She cheated. She told sarpas, you go make arrangements so that I don't want to see the horse white. The tail should be black. Somehow you go and arrange it. So the sarpas, disobedient. They say outright, no, we are not interested. We are not going to go. So at that time, Kadru, she curses the sarpas that all of you people will be burnt in the fire of a yajna. You people are useless, disobedient. Now, Kadru's children were Garuda and Aruna. So they went, they go and see. And so the sarpas, they realize that they get cursed by the mother, own mother. So they become a little upset and they think, my God. And Shastra says the curse of a mother is very, very powerful. You can counteract many curses. The curse of a Brahman also can be counteracted, but it is said that the curse of mother is so powerful that it's very difficult to get out of it. So the sarpas, they said, okay, we will go. Don't, please, you counteract this curse. You know, do something. And so then they are obedient and they go and do the work, go do the seva. So Kadru and Vinata, they both go there. and they see and the tail is black. So Vinata and Garuda, they all become servants of Kadru, and they are taking her from one place to another. Garuda is carrying them from this place to that place and everything. Yeah. So that's what happens basically, that because of disobedience of the Sarpas to their mother, they end up in the fire sacrifice of Janmaijaya. So now, when this happens, when the Sarpas get cursed, all the gods go to Brahma and they say that how did you allow such a thing, such words to come out of Kadru, a curse by which the whole species of Sarpas will be exterminated? How can you allow this? They are also part of a creation. So Brahma at that time said that the Sarpas had become so powerful, the Sarpas were so gigantic, with such virulent poison, that they were a threat to the other species. So therefore, whatever has come out, I have sanctioned it, they must be killed. But there will be some arrangement by which all the serpents will not be killed. At that time, a Brahman will come and he will stop the yajna. And of course, then the story goes that Janmaijaya, when he was performing the yajna, when he makes all the... Because Janmaijaya, he's hearing about his forefathers. He's hearing how his father got killed, Parikshit Maharaj. He's asking and he's explaining that Parikshit Maharaj is explained that Parikshit Maharaj, when he gets cursed by the Rishi, son, so at that time, he had offended by taking a serpent and he had curled it around Shamik Rishi's neck. So at that time, the son Shringi had cursed him that you will be bitten by a snake. Takshak will come and you will be bitten. So at that time, as we know, that he had made all arrangements to become Krishna conscious, and he perfects his life. But it is explained in Mahabharata that when he was going to be bitten, somewhere around that time, a great Brahmin Rishi, whose name was Kashyap, he happens to come there. Now this Kashyap is another Kashyap, not the main Saptarishi Kashyap, another Kashyap, a very powerful Brahmana who comes there. He possessed the power to chant the mantras and counteract all poison. So Takshak, knowing that this Brahmana is coming, he intercepted him and he said, "Hey, where are you going?" He comes in the form of a Brahman, Takshak. So he says, "I am so and so and I have come to chant the mantra so that when Parikshit is bitten, I will counteract the poison and I will save him." So Takshak says, "You think by your mantras you can counteract the poison of Takshak?" He says, "Yes, I am very confident. My mantras are so powerful." So then Takshak says, "All right." So then he reveals his form. He says, "I am Takshak." And he says, "Okay, let's have a test. Let's test your powers. I will burn this tree. You bring it back to life by chanting your mantras." And Takshak, he actually bites the tree. And it's completely inflamed and it gets completely, powdered by his flames of his poison. So at that time Kashyap says, "Now you stand back and you see the power of my mantras." And when he started chanting his mantras, lo and behold, the tree came back to life along with each and every leaf. So Takshak, when he saw that, he was afraid. He became afraid. He thought that if I go bite Parikshit, and if this Brahman comes and chants mantra and brings him back to life, I will be humiliated. What will the world think about my poison? I am known to be the most poisonous of all snakes. So he says, "Hey, why are you going to Parikshit? What is your motive?" So he says, "I am going for some dakshina. I will get dakshina. What else we want? We don't want anything much. Don't worry. Whatever you want, I will give far many more times than what Parikshit will give you. Take this and you go back." So he turns, he gets what he wants and he goes back. So when Janmaijaya hears this, that Takshak made such an arrangement, because if he would have done his duty, the word of the Brahmana would have come true, Parikshit would have been bitten, but could have been revived. But because Takshak played this corrupt role in order to save his prestige, he felt that he was responsible for the death of his father. So he decided that all these serpents are envious and therefore they must be killed. So therefore he conducts this yagya, sarpa yagya, huge yagya, and he calls all the sarpas and all of them from the various parts of the universes, from the patal and all these places, they come and they enter into the fire and they're all burnt. And then finally it was intercepted. So we can see that how, again, the burning of the envious, one who disobeys, you know, the laws of God, one who acts not according to duty but according to one's own selfish desires, then one ends up in with such a fate. But on the other hand, we see that how Garuda was so obedient to his devotee mother. His mother was Vinata, was very obedient. She was a devotee. You know, and the story goes that how he was so obedient. And he goes to actually the Sarpas and Kadru, and he asks them that how can we be relieved of this slavery? And then they say, don't worry, you get the Amrit from the Swarga. Get Somras, and then we will release you. So Garuda says, alright, I will go and get Soma. So it is explained that Garuda goes to fight with the gods to get the Soma. Of course, he didn't go to fight, but he went to get the Soma, but it was guarded by the gods, Indra, along with the host of 33 crore demigods. So Indra, he resisted along with the 33 crore gods. They fought with him, and Garuda defeated all of them. I mean, Garuda is here and we pray to him, but we don't know his glories actually. Garuda is a very glorious personality. Actually, how did he get the name of Garuda? That's another story. So, it so happened that once in a yagyic sacrifice, in a yagya, Indra was also doing some service. And there were some rishis whose name was Valikilya rishis. So at that time Indra, he condemned them. He said, hey, they were very short, they were very small in size. So Indra, great god, he said, hey, get out of my way. What you are doing service, you are not doing properly. See how I am doing. Very proud. So Valikilya rishi saw the arrogance of Indra, and he thought that this Indra is not capable of being the king of gods. Therefore we will perform a yagya, create another Indra who will replace you. So then they perform yagya. And the yagya was complete. And at that time Kashyap comes and he says, hey, what are you doing? And he says, we are doing yagya for another Indra. So who will be more powerful than Indra? We want to replace him. Kashyap says, don't do that. Brahma is like decided that he should be Indra. Why are you going against his will? So then they say, alright, fine. So now what to do? We have already done. The yagya is complete. The result will take place. So Brahma says, don't worry. The Indra who will become Indra, who will be born out of the yagya, will be the Indra of all the birds. And he became, and when he was created, and of course then later on, Kadru and Vinata, they were expecting children. At that time, Kashyap gave them the embryos of, you know, 1,000 embryos to Kadru and 2 embryos to Vinata. And from there came Aruna and Garuda. So this Garuda was so powerful. He was extremely powerful. He was far greater in power to Indra, and because that's how he was created. And it is explained, as soon as he was born, he was so hungry, he went to Kashyap and he says, what should I eat? And he was so huge and so large. So Kashyap said, there is in one of the celestial abodes, there is an elephant and there is a turtle, huge turtle. And it, some size is mentioned, somewhere around 3 yojanas, around 24 kilometers, such huge size. Celestial elephant and a celestial turtle. Unearthly. So Garuda goes there and he grabs the elephant in one leg, grabs the turtle in another leg, feet. And who were those? That is another story. who was that elephant and who was the turtle? So this elephant and the turtle in their past life were some brahmanas or something like that. And they were greedy brahmanas. They were fighting for property of their father. So they wanted partition, dividing the property of father. So they were constantly fighting. So when they died, they became turtle, they became elephant, and they were constantly fighting with each other. Kashyap said, go and eat them. They'll get some uddhar. When if you will eat them, they will get some deliverance. So Garuda goes and catches with one hand elephant, one hand turtle, huge turtle. And you can imagine the size of Garuda, and he's coming to perch on one tree, a huge celestial tree which was so large, the branches were so large. So just as Garuda was about to perch on the branch, he sees some rishis who are like doing tapasya on the tree. So he was a devotee and he didn't want to disturb the rishis. But he had already perched on the branch, and as soon as he perched, the branch broke. So he did not want to disturb them. So with his beak, he held on to that huge branch and he was flying. In one foot he had the elephant, 1 foot he had the turtle, and in the beak he had a huge branch. And the rishis saw that and they exclaimed, Garuda, Garuda, which means a carrier of huge loads. Seeing that sight, this huge bird, so powerful. So then this Garuda, he goes and he fights with Indra. And they could not stand a chance. He was so powerful that Indra, he took his Vajra and he threw it at Garuda. And when Garuda saw the Vajra coming at him, he thought, okay, this Vajra is like empowered by the bones of Dadichi Muni. So he wanted to offer respects. So to offer respect, he just shed one feather of his. The thunderbolt hit him and he just shed one feather. And a huge feather came falling down and everybody saw, my God, the power of Garuda. So Garuda was very obedient. So then Indra thought, I cannot fight with him. So he said, I want your friendship. How can I be your friend? So he said, I am not your enemy. I have come here for one purpose. I have come to take Soma. So will you allow me? How can I resist? Please take it. But please know, Garuda, that this Soma is only meant for the gods. If it goes to wrong hands, it will be a problem. God has meant it for us. So Garuda says, I am not concerned with that. All I want to do is take the Soma, give it to the Sarpas. Before they drink it, you want to steal it, I have no issues with that. So Indra says, fine, I'll do that. So Garuda, he takes the Soma in his beak and he's flying towards Kadru and the Sarpas. So he comes, he brings it there and he places it on his way. Lord Vishnu intercepts Garuda and he says, you are so obedient, you are so sense controlled, you have Soma, Amrit, in your mouth, but you are not drinking it. You truly are a worthy candidate for my benediction. What benediction you want? And Garuda says, please engage me in your service. And he gets the service of Lord Vishnu. And then finally, then he reaches to the Sarpas and he says, okay, he keeps it on the Kusha grass and he says, here, this is for you. So now we are freed from slavery. But the condition is that before you drink the Soma, you go do your ablutions, take a bath, become clean, and then you can drink it. So all the Sarpas, they immediately go do their stuff. By the time they come back, Indra comes and steals the Soma and takes it back. So Sarpas, they see that it's gone. Soma, Amrit is gone. So they start licking on the Kusha grass, thinking that maybe there are a few drops which have been spilt there. We'll get some drops. And because Kusha grass is very sharp, they cut their tongue, and therefore it is explained that therefore the serpent's tongue is split. So therefore we see that how eventually then they get freed. Garuda is freed from that slavery of the Sarpas and Kadru. So this is another example of how those who are against the will of the Lord do not stand a chance. And all the Sarpas got killed in the Yajna of Janmeja. So this is another very nice episode which took place, explaining this, the glory of bhakti, selflessness, devotional service. It is the story of Mrikandu. Now Mrikandu Rishi is the father of Markandeya Rishi. He was a great devotee of Lord Shiva. So this Mrikandu, he performed tapasya, great tapasya, because he didn't have a child. So Lord Shiva appears to him and says, what do you want? So he says, I want a son. So he said, according to your karma, you don't deserve a son. You will have to suffer some karma. So therefore, there are two options. You get a son who will live for only 16 years, or you get another son who will live a long life, but he'll be characterless. So which one do you choose? So he says, I will prefer a son who will live a short life, but he will be virtuous. So then Markandeya was born to him. So when Markandeya was born, he knew that he will die in 16 years. So at the end of his life, he was praying. He was praying to Lord Shiva. He took shelter of Shiva, greatest of all Vaishnavas. He was praying to him. And when the time came for him to die, because he was so virtuous, that Yamaraj did not send his associates. He personally came. Yamaraj, Swayam, came there. So when he came there, Markandeya Rishi, he immediately held on to the Shivling he was worshipping. Held on for his dear life. So Yamaraj threw his Yamapash, his rope, to take him. So that fell on the Shivling also. So from the Shivling, Lord Shiva came out and killed Yamaraj. Yamaraj got killed. He came to kill Markandeya. He gets killed. And all the host of gods, they come to Shiva and they say, what have you done? You killed Yamaraj. Because Lord Shiva's name is Kalakal, Mahakal. Means who is the Kal of Kal also. Who kills Yamaraj also. So powerful. Kalakal, Mrityunjay. One who conquers death. So he killed him. And so then all the gods said, you please do something. So then he revives him, Yamaraj. So then Markandeya becomes Chiranjeev, becomes deathless, and that's how it goes. So another example of how, when we take shelter of great souls, great devotees of the Lord, how we can become freed from all the miseries and even death also. You know. So there are very nice stories in the Shastras. One story is of Gautam Rishi. Gautam Rishi had a son whose name was Nachiketa. And this Nachiketa was told by his father that go get some samagri from the banks of the sacred river. I have kept it there. So when he comes back, he lost them. He couldn't find them. So he comes back to his father and he says, I couldn't find it. Probably the river has taken away the samagri. I couldn't find it. So Gautam Rishi becomes very upset. And in that anger, he tells his son that, you know, you are only meant to meet Yamaraj. You must meet Yamaraj. That is your fate. Moment he says that, he falls down, Nachiketa. Dead. So Nachiketa, he goes to Yamalok, meets Yamaraj, Sakshat. So Nachiketa asks Yamaraj, am I dead? And I'm seeing you. So Yamaraj says, you're not dead, but you have come to meet me. I have called you, I have summoned you here. Because your father is a great Brahma Rishi, and therefore, because these words came out from his mouth, I have to allow that to happen. To honor his word, I have brought you here. So what do you want to see? What is your wish? You can ask for three benedictions. Since you met me, I will give you. So Nachiketa says, all right, first of all, I want benediction is that my father should forgive me. So it's done. Second boon I ask is that I must understand the Vedic sacrifices, the Agni that is there in heaven. I must understand the ways how to do it. So he said, never mind. The Agni will be named after you, called as Nachiketa. And he says, the third benediction I want is, I want to know how to understand the Atma. How can I understand my soul? How can I become self-realized? How can I please the Supreme Lord? So then at that point of time, Yamaraj, he says, please, you ask anything else. You want to go to heaven, you want opulences, you want wealth, you want a pretty wife, you want car, you want mobile phone, you want a laptop, you want a good job, you want to go to the Western countries, you want, what you want to do? You want an iPad, you want a mobile, you want an iPhone. What you want, ask. But don't ask this. This is, I can't give you this. This is meant not for you. So he says, this is all temporary. I don't want this. And in fact, Yamaraj takes him to the heavenly abode, shows him all the Swarga Loka, and he is not at all impressed. He says, I want to understand, so I want to understand who am I. I want to understand God. I want to serve Him. Tell me, how can I attain that? And at that time, Yamaraj gives that very famous example that how one can understand. Then he understands that he is a true candidate. He has not given up. He is determined to understand this. So he realizes he is a true candidate to understand the principle of Krishna consciousness, and he gives him the philosophy. And he says, just like a person riding a horse or a person riding a chariot with horses, many horses, he cannot expect to reach his destination if he does not control his horses. Similarly, the soul within this body must control his senses in order to reach the destination. The senses are like horses. The tether is the mind. The intelligence is the driver and the passenger is the soul. That is the arrangement of the soul and the body. And therefore, one has to learn to control his senses in order to reach his required destination. As I quoted the verse, Padanga, Matanga, Kuranga, Bringa, Meena, Hata, Panchibirava, Panchibirava. These five animals represent these five powerful senses which human beings have. And therefore, if he controls it and he engages it in the service of God, then only can he reach the abode of God. Nayam atma pravachanena labhyo na medhayana bahuna shrutena yameveish vrinuteyatena labhyastasaisha atma vrinute tanumsyam. That it is not possible to understand the atma simply by speech. One can speak about atma, but one cannot realize it. One cannot hear, 24 hours a day one can hear, but he cannot realize the atma, he cannot realize God. Nayam atma pravachanena labhyo na medhaya, not through by intelligence, not with this organ of the brain, but by the organ of the heart one can understand Krishna. So one has to put into practice what one hears, and only then it is explained that Atma and Supreme Lord will be revealed automatically. It is not something that we can access. Therefore, in the Gita, Kavim Puranam Anushashitaram Anor Aniyam Samanusmareti Aditya Varnam Tamasa Parastat, it is explained. Sarvasya Dhataram Achinti Rupam Aditya Varnam Tamasa Parastat. So Baldevidya Bhushan is explaining that how a Yoga Mishra Bhakta, when he wants to attain Krishna through the yogic processes, then Krishna is telling him that how you must control your senses and how you must engage your senses in the Supreme Lord. And he says, Kavim Puranam, engage your mind in Supreme Lord, who is what? Kavi. Kavi means the most knowledgeable person, knower of past, present and future. Puranam, the senior most, senior even to Brahma. Anushasitaram means the controller. Like Lord Ramchandra, he was a controller. In fact, he is a controller of everything. He is not just a king, but he is actually supreme controller. It's like recently there was some news article about some Indian, Sunita Williams. She went to space. And, NASA, they sent her to space. And so Indians are very proud that they went to space. And actually going to space is a very risky business. I was just reading some statistics and I came to know that these, shuttle which goes orbiter, which orbits the Earth, International Space Station, which goes around the Earth, orbit, it orbits the Earth 16 times per day. That means the speed at which they are going is somewhere around 17,000 kilometers per second or per hour or something like that, which means pretty, 7 kilometers per second, that's the speed. For 20 times the speed of sound, 20-25 times the speed of sound, that's the speed. It's an extremely risky business. So when these NASA people, when they are sending this rocket into space, they have to be very meticulous. There cannot be any room for, you know, mistakes. One mistake and that will cost billions of dollars and the lives of important astronauts. So they have to be extremely meticulous, that they put computers to control everything. And everything is planned out, everything is chalked out, but despite all kind of arrangements for a safe launch, they have to keep their fingers crossed. Because nobody is sure that what would happen. And then I was just seeing some, you know, some news article, and they saw that in India, the school children and all, they're very proud that some Indian has gone into space, and they're like, they're having a picture of Sunita Williams, and it's like, oh, space. And then some yajna is being performed with Sunita Williams, saying, Swaha, so that she may be safe in space. So despite all those arrangements for, you know, controlling things, that, you know, everything should go on well, but nobody can be 100% sure that they'll come back safe. Therefore, our Indians who have a lot of faith on God, they do yajna for her. So, anushasitaram, anor aniyam, something. Lord is so small and he's so big also. He enters into the atom. Prabhupada says that the soul is very tiny. It's 1/10,000 the tip of a hair. And the Lord enters into the heart of such a tiny soul. Keshagra shatabhagasya shatamsha sadrishatmaka jiva sukshma sarupoyam sankhya tito hi chit kanaha. That you cut the tip of a hair into 100 parts, and each one part you cut it again into 100 parts. That is the size of the soul. And within the heart of that soul, the Lord enters. Anor, aniyamsam. That means he is smaller than the smallest. Anusmaredhya. Sarvasya dhataram. At the same time, he's present everywhere. He's all pervading. He's so small and still he's all pervading. How is that? So Baldev Vidya Bhushan is saying, Sarvasya dhataram achintya rupam. You cannot understand that because he's achintya. Aditya varanam tamasah parastat. Aditya varanam. He's like the sun. So what is the quality of the sun? You cannot see the sun with a torch. If you want to understand the sun, if it's night, or how do you know that the sun has risen? There is no way of knowing till the sun gives its own light. Sun has to give its own light. You cannot make your own arrangements to see the sun. The sun is self-illuminated. Similarly, achintya rupam aditya varanam tamasa parastat, that the Lord is self-illuminating. He will reveal himself. Only then you can understand. Not by your endeavors. Not by simply controlling your senses you can understand Bhagavan. Tamasah parastat. He is beyond the tamas, the three modes of nature. And therefore to understand him, we have to take his shelter. Om iti ekaksharam brahma vyaharan ma manusvaram sa prayati chajan deham sayati paramam gati. That by chanting the Om mantra, the holy name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram. That is the process of understanding. So, that is the method which Srila Prabhupada has given us. So here we can see that how the envious souls who try to attack Krishna, they met with their end. That is the process. So the process to attain Krishna is to humbly chant the names of Krishna. That is the process. It's already 9:15. I would like to share one episode which took place with me just recently in Kargar station. If I can get your 2 minutes, yeah. So I was just on Thursday. I was going for a Gita course, and one person, he intercepted me. Nice, well-built boy, young, 25-28 year old, looking at me. He was looking at me. I was chanting Hare Krishna in train, chanting. So he was looking at me for about half an hour. He was looking, staring at me. So anyway, I got off at Kargar, he also got off, and he came to me and he shook my hand, and I said, so, hello, how are you? So I said, hi, how are you? I said, fine. So then he said, so I'm looking, what does he want from me? So he's saying, do you know Jesus? So Jesus, I said, yeah, I know Jesus, I know. And I told him, one of my aunties, she got married to a Catholic, so I know. Jesus. She tells me about Jesus. Oh, that's very good. That's very good. It's very nice. So, why don't you put faith on Jesus? Said, we already have our saints. We have our own. We have our rishis. We have our gurus. We put faith on them. Why we need to put faith on Jesus? No problem. We are satisfied. No. But you don't understand. Who are your gurus? I said, Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, great saints have been there. No, they are human beings. So I said, what do you mean human beings? I mean, you know, every human being when they are small children, you know, small children. So I said, yeah, I know small children. They lie. I said, yeah, children lie. So don't you think that these, you know, gurus of yours have lied? Anybody who lies cannot be perfect. I said, yes, but they have not lied. Just like Jesus Christ. Don't you think he was a small boy? Didn't he lie? How do you know that? He says, no, he never lied. He is God. I said, he's God? How do you know he's God? He said, because he did not lie. He said, okay, he's God because he did not lie. And how do you know he did not lie? Because he's God? Wow, what a logic. I said, that's not true. I mean, you know, he's the Son of God. We accept him as Son of God. He's not God. Don't make him God. He says, but, you know, you must have faith. Do you have faith? He's telling me like that. Huh? Do you have faith that by chanting beads you can go back to God? You can go to heaven? I looked at him and I said, what? I mean, I said, do you eat meat? I said, do you eat cows? Do you eat turkeys? And do you eat chicken? Do you eat those things? He says, yes. But do you think that by eating these things you'll go to heaven? So you are eating vegetables. You are also killing. No, Jesus says that thou shall not kill. You should not kill. Why you don't do that? But you are also killing. You are killing vegetables. I said, but there's a difference. I explained Prabhupada's philosophy. When you kill animals, there's a lot of pain involved. But when you kill vegetables, the pain is not so much. We live by inflicting less pain to others. Eat we must. Kill we must. So why not kill by inflicting less pain? No. Jesus is the way. I said, we think you are not going to heaven. You are going to hell. And if you call hell heaven, then I don't want to go to that place where you are going, you people are going. And I told Maharaj's philosophy, Radhana Swami Maharaj's philosophy. I said, we don't want to go there. And if you want to go, you go. And if you want to preach, preach to your people, your Christians, make them proper Christians. We are happy with our gurus. We are happy with our God. We don't want your philosophy. And I'm getting late for my course. So please, let me go. And he had his book. But I have a Bible to give you. And I said, you keep it because you all have changed it. I can see that. And he was like shaken and he was like standing there, and you know. So many times people try to create that doubt in you that by chanting you will reach to God. But yes, we will reach to God. Certainly. Bhagavatam says that. You know. And in fact, in the Bhagavatam there is that verse which says, you know, that those who don't chant, Yamaraj is telling, Yamraj is telling to the Yamdutas, those who don't chant the names of God, the names of Krishna should be brought here. You know, Ittham Sabhartru Gaditam Bhagavat Mahitvam. You know, that verse is there which says that that those who chant Hare Krishna, they are fearful even to the Yamdutas. And therefore one must take shelter of Sri Krishna by chanting of the process. That is a process which has been prescribed in the Shastras to attain Sri Krishna. So thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki. Jai Gaur Premanande. Yeah.